It's time for The Line of Fire with your host, activist, author, international speaker, and theologian, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Michael Brown is the director of the Coalition of Conscience and president of Fire School of Ministry. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. That's 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Hey friends, this is Michael Brown. Delighted to be with you on The Line of Fire today. I am not taking calls, but you'll be glad because we're going to dig into the Word. We're going to look at a number of key scriptures, and we're going to focus on our identity in Jesus. Because at the end of the day, the one thing that matters, the ultimate question, the real issue, what is your relationship with God through Jesus? Do you have eternal life in Jesus or not? Are you in Him or not? Being rich or poor won't be the issue. Being black or white won't be the issue. Being American or Asian won't be the issue. Being Jew or Gentile won't be the issue. Being male or female won't be the issue. The issue will be, are you in Him? Are you in Jesus, Yeshua? Are you saved? Are you washed with His blood? Are you in relationship with God? There is no other way to God except through Jesus. John 14:6, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Acts 4:12, there is no other name under heaven given to among men among which we must be saved other than the name of Jesus. Philippians 2, at the name of Jesus the Messiah, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus is Lord to the glory of God the Father. John 17:3 tells us that this is eternal life. This is the prayer of Yeshua, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus, the Messiah, whom you sent. That's the ultimate issue. That's why we labor. That's why we preach. That's why we go to the nations. That's why we send missionaries to the nations. That's why we preach the gospel to Jew and Gentile alike. That's why we say all people are lost outside of Jesus, no matter how religious, no matter how devoted. They're all lost. We all need a Savior. We all need mercy. Only in Him, only through Him. That's fundamental. And that, in a certain way, is the most radical thing we can say, because we're telling Muslims, no matter how devout you are, without Jesus, you're not devout enough. We're telling religious Jews, no matter how devout you are, you're not devout enough. We're telling religious Hindus, we're telling nice atheists, we're telling people from every religious background, unless you have eternal life through Jesus, you do not have eternal life. You are lost. That's our message. That's our burden. That's why we go preach. That's why Christians sacrifice their lives for the gospel. And that has been my heartbeat since the Lord graciously saved me over 47 years ago. What concerns me, friends, and I'm going to be totally candid with you, it's like this. Let's say you're 50 years old. Let's say your dad is 85. Let's say your name is Max. And you go to see your dad one day, he lives with other family, and you go to see him and you walk in and he doesn't recognize you. You say, Dad, it's Max. It's your son, it's Max. Do I know you? You're my son? No, you're not my son. I'd know you. Now, you don't get concerned about your identity, do you? You don't say, well, am I really Max? No, you think, oh gosh, dementia, Alzheimer's, what's happened to my dad? Can't even recognize his own son anymore. That's who you get concerned for. So, and I'm speaking totally candidly, I don't mean to insult anyone, but when I see people so wrongly evaluate me and who I am, when I expose error, when I confront anti-Semitism, when I say, yeah, I'm a Jew who follows Jesus, and they flip out over that, I don't get concerned about me. Why would I get concerned about my relationship with God when I walk in the love of God 24/7, when I have a wonderful relationship with my Heavenly Father, when Jesus has been the very essence of my life for the last 47 years? Why would I be concerned about me? It would be like the guy visiting his dad with Alzheimer's. He's concerned about his dad. So I'm concerned about people when they can have such horrific error, deep misunderstanding, that it so blinds them to things. I mean, that they'll, I know some people are trolls and just looking for a response, but when people legitimately think I'm like a paid Zionist infiltrator or a Mossad agent. And I'm thinking, okay, what? Why are they missing it so badly? Why? I don't get upset for me. Why would I get upset for me? If someone says to me, I know who you are, you're Shaquille O'Neal, and I don't like Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not Shaquille O'Neal. I'm not 7 foot plus, and I'm not a famous basketball player, and I'm light skinned and he's dark skinned. I think, why in the world are you thinking that? What's with you? It is not an insult to be called Shaquille O'Neal. You know, he's an amazing player and great history and all this, but you get my point. I wouldn't be thinking, well, maybe I am Shaquille. I better look in the mirror again. No. I'm thinking, what's wrong with that person? They genuinely believe that. So let me just give you a sampling of some comments I spotted on YouTube recently. And I'm going to give the people the benefit of the doubt and say they're being sincere. I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and say they're not being trolls. They're not just trying to provoke a reaction. They're not somebody else coming in for some other reason to just try to make our you know, comment section blow up, you know, with hostile stuff. I'm giving the benefit of the doubt that these people are this deluded, this misled, this confused, that they actually believe these things. I'm not going to put anyone's name up here. I just didn't feel it was appropriate, even though they post it publicly. So here, the first two come from the same person. Many lies come from traitor unto Jesus Christ by false convert Brown. The Goyim knows, by the way, it should say Goy knows or Goyim knows. Goyim is plural. What you think of us and our Savior, Jesus Christ, repent, sir. I think, okay, what? So when I expose anti-Semitism in the church, when I call out groups like True News, which are getting increasingly bizarre in their anti-Israel, anti-Jewish comments, and they will not have me on their network to refute them, nor will they debate me, nor will they come online. And by the way, people write to us all the time. You should reach out to this one. Oh, we do. We offer them, come on our show, we'll come on yours. Nope, with great consistency. In any case, why would someone think that I'm a traitor to Jesus when I expose lies about the Jewish people being told in Jesus' name? You would think that's being loyal to Jesus, because many Jews have a bad view of Jesus because of what so-called Christians have done to them through the ages. And there were many Nazis who were professing Christians. So you obviously they weren't Christians, but your average Jew doesn't know the difference between a real Christian and a false Christian. So you would think people would thank me for setting the record straight so that there's not reproach coming to the name of Jesus or the name Christian or the name evangelical. Here's another comment from this same person. Brown is a treasonous infiltrator into Christianity from Chabad. I'll explain what they were trying to say there. To stab Jesus Christ in the back, repent, I rebuke you, Dr. Brown. This is actually from a gal who posted this. So again, this is the way I feel when I see this. It's like I'm the guy visiting my old father who now has Alzheimer's and dementia and can't even recognize me. I'm concerned about his condition. So when I see nonsense like this, I'm concerned about their condition. Here I am thriving in the blessing of God and the smile of God and the favor of God and by his grace, blessed with wonderful family and kids and grandkids and seeing wonderful fruit from the gospel all around the world and seeing Jesus glorified and getting great testimony sometimes by the minute of people whose lives have been impacted and changed. And yet someone has these views. I'm concerned about them. Again, don't want to mention her name, don't want to embarrass her. And the idea of being a treasonous infiltrator to Christianity from Chabad. So Chabad, that's another name for Lubavitch. It is the most active Jewish group on the planet, ultra-Orthodox Jews following the teachings of their late Grand Rabbi Menachem Mendel Schneerson, who died in 1994 at the age of 92. If there's anybody that Chabad would have their sights on as an enemy, it's me. Because I've written publicly that the Rebbe, their leader, is not the Messiah, but Jesus is. When they began to hail him as the Messiah, when he had a stroke and couldn't speak anymore, I did an outreach lecture at Yale University. Will the real Messiah please rise? And saying, well, who's the real Messiah? With a contrast between the two. He was a great, effective Jewish leader, but he certainly wasn't the Messiah, and he certainly would fight people like me tooth and nail and look at me as people like us as enemies. So how in the world would someone get this so wrong? What is it in them? What's the sickness, the error, the wrong mentality? That's what concerns me. And I'm going to double back to that as we talk about neither Jew nor Gentile in Jesus. Here's another comment. It amazes me Dr. Brown always defends Jews. What the Jews are, the most hateful and destructive people on the planet. You're either Christian or Jew. It can't be both. You know, where do they get such a bizarre idea that following the Jewish Messiah means you're no longer a Jew? I do not practice Judaism. No. I'm not a Talmudic Jew. No. And I constantly call out Jewish people or Israel for where I differ or what's being done wrong. And I write constantly against the rabbis and say the rabbis are wrong when it comes to Jesus and other issues. Why would someone think that when you begin to follow Jesus, you cease to be a Jew any more than you cease to be a male or a female? Why would anyone think that? Practice Judaism. Of course, I don't practice Judaism, but I follow Jesus and I'm a Jew. Now, how about this? You should back down. It's so obvious you're a Jew trying to pretend you're a Christian. It's really disgusting. So again, why would someone be so misled, so deceived, or hate Jews so much, or whatever it is? I'm trying to diagnose their problem so I can help them. Again, here, we'll take it one step further. You come in with your 85-year-old dad. Does he have dementia, Alzheimer's? Maybe there's some chemical imbalance that could be addressed. Maybe there's some dietary thing that will help. Maybe there's nothing that can be done. Maybe he needs professional care. So you bring him in to see the doctor, and the doctor asks questions and does tests to try to diagnose. I'm trying to diagnose what's wrong in the hearts and minds of these folks. Maybe some of you that posted this or are viewing this right now or listening, I want to help you. As a follower of Jesus, I want to help you, especially if you claim to be a follower of Jesus. Okay, one last quote. Michael, just admit that you're a fake Christian and nothing but a subversive Jew. So once again, for calling out lies against the Jewish people, for calling out anti-Semitism practiced in Jesus' name, and for saying that, yes, you can be Jewish and follow Jesus, but you cannot be a follower of Jesus and follow the rabbis at the same time. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and submit to Talmudic Judaism. You cannot be a follower of Jesus and agree with rabbinic denial of Jesus. What is it in these folks I care about? I pray for their well-being in the Lord. What is it that has so infected their thinking, so whatever, diminished their ability to separate truth from error, that they can't recognize a follower of Jesus? And when this follower of Jesus speaks the truth, they have to say this person is no longer a follower of Jesus. Is it something else that they're worshiping, following? It concerns me, and I hope you see why. No need to send me notes of encouragement. Don't listen to these people. I'm concerned for them. I'm blessed. I'm concerned for them. We go back. We look in the scriptures. Stay right here. God of light,
hear our cry. It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on The Line of Fire. This is Michael Brown, delighted to be with you. I want to explain some things to you today about our identity in Jesus, which is ultimately what matters. That matters more than anything, about being in Him. I want to explain more about this, why there's no Jew or Gentile in Jesus, what that means and what it doesn't mean, and why people tend to have such overreaction. We just looked at some of it in the last segment. And look, I'm not a medical doctor. The reason that doctor is stuck on my name, Dr. Michael Brown, well, I have a PhD, so it's an earned doctorate, but it's a couple things. One, there are so many Michael Browns in the world, so many Michael Browns, so many Michael L. Browns, that many years ago, just to distinguish myself, be it on a credit card, be it on ID for an airline or something like that, I would use doctor, just as I use the middle initial L. Now that a lot of people just know me as Michael Brown, my articles and things, they don't have the middle initial. But I used it always because there's so many Michael Browns out there. There's so many Dr. Michael Browns, there's so many Dr. Michael L. Browns, but at least if you use all that, it limits it. And then years back when I started to serve in the Brownsville Revival, everybody just got to know me as Dr. Brown. Before that, if I was doing academic work, lecturing at a university, lecturing at a seminary, I'd be Dr. Brown or Professor Brown. But otherwise, when I travel and preach, everybody around the world knows me as Mike Brown. Mike Brown. And I remember going back to Italy, they said, Micah Brown, what's the doctor? Doctor. And I was like, people just started calling me Dr. Brown. So it stuck, and then asked Dr. Brown. But all that to say, I'm not a medical doctor. And every so often, I'll see on our Facebook page or elsewhere, someone writes in asking for medical advice. Now, it's one thing if they want to know about weight loss and life transformation, as Nancy and I wrote a book, Breaking the Stronghold of Food. That's great. That's fine. And then, but if it's nutritional and medical questions, we still say, hey, we're not qualified to answer those. Here's a good place to get it. But somebody will write, and it's just a flat out medical question, and they're asking Dr. Brown. It's like, I'm not that kind of doctor. I'm so sorry. I wish I could help you. However, in that sense, I'm a doctor of the soul. As a follower of Jesus, put aside the PhD, I'm here to help minister grace and healing to your soul, to your mind, your spirit, because my goal is to serve you so you can be healthy and strong and go out and impact your world. So you can be healthy and strong and be a witness on your college campus. So you can be healthy and strong and raise your kids in a godly way. So you can be healthy and strong and be a godly spouse. So you can be healthy and strong and stand up for Jesus in the workplace. So you can be healthy and strong and go around the world and take Jesus to the nations. So you can be healthy and strong and reach the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And yes, outside of Jesus, the people of Israel, religious Jews, secular Jews, are the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Yes, I know that's offensive to people. My concern is not about being offensive. My concern is about being accurate and truthful. The reason I reject certain statements about the Jewish people is not because I find them offensive, but because they're false, because they're incorrect, because it's misinformation. If it's offensive, that's not the issue. A lot of things that are true are offensive. So be it. Speak the truth in love. If you offend, you offend. So be it. But I want you to understand this. When the word Christian was first used, it's only found three times in the New Testament, Acts 11, Acts 26, and 1 Peter 4. That's it. When the word Christian was first used, it had a certain meaning. It was not a member of a new religion. It was not a recognized new religion called Christianity quite at that point. That comes some decades later, you could say. But it was a name that was put on the Jewish and Gentile followers of Jesus. And you see, in the Greek world, Christos, Christ, anointed one, really had no meaning. In the Jewish world, Greek-speaking Jews, Christos meant anointed, ha Christos, the anointed one, the Messiah. But in the Greek world, the Greek Gentile world, Christos really had no meaning. Some of them thought his name was Christos, just like a last name. Christos, Christos. So his followers were Christiani, Christiani, these Christ ones. It would be like someone was mocking people who followed me on social media and said, oh, you're just Brownites. You're just Brownites, okay? It was, from what we know, a negative mocking name, which is why Peter in 1 Peter 4 says, if you're called Christian, don't be ashamed of that name. That's actually a glorious thing. Don't be ashamed of it. Over the centuries, it's taken on certain meanings in certain places. So if I'm in India, I absolutely, yes, I am a Christian. Yes, we are calling on you to turn from other gods, to turn from you, turn from false gods, and to become a Christian. That has meaning. If I'm in the Muslim world, that has meaning. If I'm in America, I have many, many friends who for years don't say I'm a Christian in America because it means nothing. To this day, 75% of Americans profess to be Christians. And what does it mean? What kind of Christianity do they have? You have, I'm a Christian and they're in porn. I'm a Christian and I'm an abortion doctor. I'm a Christian and I, you know, I'm married to someone of the same sex. So the word Christian often has so little meaning in our culture that if you say, yeah, I want you to become a Christian, but what does that mean? Everybody's a Christian. A Christian like a gay Christian or this Christian at the strip club? But, you know, what kind of Christian? So we'll often say, We want you to become a follower of Jesus, to be born again, or to become a disciple. Oh, that's intense. Now we're talking. In Israel, if you say, so you're speaking to someone in Hebrew, Ninotzri, I'm a Christian. It basically means I'm Greek Orthodox or Catholic. That's pretty much what it means. That's the most natural meaning. It also means I'm not Jewish. If I say, Ani Yehudi Mashihi, I'm a Messianic Jew, then that's telling them I'm a Jew who believes in Jesus. Or they might say, Mazel, what's a Messianic Jew? And then you explain it's a Jew who believes that Jesus is the Messiah, etc. All right, so in Israel, one of the first things you have to do, I'm just telling you, on the ground there, speaking to Israelis in Hebrew, one of the first things you need to do is make them understand you're not a Christian, unless you're Catholic or Greek Orthodox, and that's your identity, okay? But if you're just an Israeli and you're a Jewish follower of Jesus, you want that person to understand, hey, I am Jewish and I'm a follower of Jesus, the Messiah. No one questioned whether Paul or Peter or John or their disciples were Jews. They questioned, what kind of Jews are you? Look, you can be a Jew and be an atheist. How can that be? I can be an atheist Jew. You can be a Jew and be an extreme liberal and barely practice your religion. There are very religious Jews, and they look at Reform Jews, so they're the most liberal, and conservative Jews who are almost as liberal. Conservative doesn't mean morally or politically conservative, all right? There are ultra-Orthodox rabbis, and they look at other branches of Judaism and say, you're Jews, but that's not Judaism. You're Jews, but those rabbis you have are not really rabbis. That's what they actually believe, and that's what they actually say. And of course, the liberal Jews, they look at the ultra-Orthodox as extremists. But either way, they're all recognized as Jews. When I came to faith and got baptized, February 4th of 1972, my dad was concerned, glad to see the change in my life, but his son getting baptized? And he talked to the local rabbi, and the rabbi said, so your son's a baptized Jew. Now, local rabbi wasn't happy with it either, but he was saying, your son's still a Jew. He said, no, that's where people are getting it wrong. That's what people misunderstand. Because when you're in Jesus, you're neither Jew nor Gentile. Well, can we just open that verse up together, all right? Let me say this again. What matters to me is being in Jesus. That's what matters. That is more my identity than being male. That is more my identity than being a Jew. That is more my identity than being an American. That is more my identity than anything, being in Jesus, being in him. And that's what matters. But can we just take a look at Galatians chapter 3, verse 28? And Paul says this. In fact, let's just back up a little bit, all right? Let's just back up a little bit there. And he says this, verse 26, for you are all sons of God through trusting in Messiah Yeshua, or in our normal English translations, Christ Jesus. For all of you who were immersed in Christ, in Messiah, have clothed yourselves with Messiah, with Christ. That's all that matters, friends. That is it. Are you in him? Have you been immersed in Jesus, baptized in him? How are you clothed with him? That's what matters, all right? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female. For you are all one in Messiah Jesus. If you belong to Messiah, then you are Abraham's seed, heirs according to the promise. Let's focus on verse 28, all right? There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. So let's start at the end. There's neither male nor female. Can I ask you, friends, what exactly does that mean? Let's just be consistent. I want us to be consistent in this verse. We agree that what matters is not being male or female, slave or free, Jew or Gentile. What matters more than anything is being in Jesus. Outside of him, we are lost. In him, we have eternal life. But when Paul writes there's neither male nor female, does he mean that biological distinctions vanish when you get saved? That anybody can marry anybody because there's neither male nor female? Is that what he means? Does he mean that men can have babies and women can impregnate people? Is that what he means? Does he mean that at your church building that you don't have men's rooms and women's rooms, that you don't have men's meetings and women's meetings? Is that what Paul means? Does it mean that you don't, if you're a teacher, you say, boys and girls, be quiet, because if they're in a Christian school, there's neither male nor female? Does that mean that the people declaring radical war on gender are right because gender is whatever you perceive it to be? Obviously, that's not what Paul's saying. But what is he saying? We'll take that up when we come back on the other side of the break, digging into the Word together here on the Line of Fire.
It's The Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown. Get into The Line of Fire now by calling 866-34-TRUTH. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Do you know a prayer that a traditional Jewish man prays when he wakes up in the morning? And do you know how it ties in with Galatians 3:28? This is Michael Brown. It is my absolute joy to be with you today. I'm not taking calls on this special teaching broadcast, neither male nor female, neither Jew nor Gentile in Jesus. What exactly does that mean? So sit back, enjoy the broadcast. And before we get into the scriptures together, let me encourage you that you can really make a difference by becoming a Patreon partner, and you will be blessed as you do. Friends, there are so many issues today that need to be addressed, be it the radical abortion movement, be it the radical war on gender, be it sex ed curricula in our children's schools, be it the rising tide of anti-Semitism right within the church. So many controversial, so many difficult issues. And we're right here by calling in grace of God to tackle these issues and to be your voice of moral sanity and spiritual clarity in the midst of a society in chaos and a church all too often in compromise. My own saying, I almost got it wrong there. Okay, we are here as your voice, friends, but you can help us do an even better job, put out even more high quality videos, address some of the key issues in various forms of media. We'll be tackling them with your help, creating new content, deepening our content, improving our content. And it's something that almost everybody can do. If you can think of it, if you can spare 25, 30 cents a day, 35 cents a day, that's it. Become a Patreon partner at our $10 level, $10 a month. All right. Not only will you know that every show that broadcasts, every new video that goes up, all the new media presentations we have, that you're actually part of it. Not only that, and you'll get treasure in heaven and the blessing of God for your work here. But not only that, every week we're making bonus content available to you. We do these YouTube chats for about an hour where I just do a flood of answers to questions for an hour. And then after that, it's archived and hidden from the general public, but you get to watch it as a Patreon supporter. And then every week I'm recording 20, 30 minutes, an exclusive bonus show for you, where I'm doing unique teaching and things that will help you grow in the Lord. That's yours as well. So would you go there right now, patreon.com/AskDrBrown, A-S-K D-R Brown, patreon.com/AskDrBrown. If you're watching on Facebook or YouTube, you see the link right there. Okay, let's take a look in Romans 10. And before we go there, let me tell you a prayer that a traditional Jew prays every morning. Traditional Jewish male. He wakes up in the morning and he says, God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, that I'm not a slave, that I'm not a woman. Religious Jew wakes up in the morning, a male, and says, God, I thank you that I'm not a Gentile, that I'm not a slave, that I'm not a woman. All right? Now, we know in Galatians 3:28, Paul says that there's neither male nor female. There's neither slave nor free. There's neither Jew nor Gentile, right? Jew nor Gentile first, male nor female last. He says that. Is it possible that that prayer existed in his day and he's countering it? It could be. Why does a traditional Jew say those words? Why does a traditional Jewish male say those words? In the mind of a Jewish person, it is a great privilege to observe the Torah. In the mind of a traditional Jewish person, it's not a burden, it's a blessing. That God chose Israel out of all the nations on the earth to follow his holy Torah. That's how a traditional Jew looks at it. Now, if he was not a Jew, if he was a Gentile, he wouldn't be required to keep all the commandments. If he was a slave, he wouldn't be able to keep all the commandments. And if he was a woman, he wouldn't be required to keep all the commandments because Judaism recognizes certain commandments which are time sensitive. A woman might not be able to keep because of pregnancy, because of nursing, because of other concerns that a woman might have. So only a free male Jew is required to keep all the commandments, because of which a traditional Jew thanks God for that at the beginning of the day. And of course, liberal Jews find that prayer very offensive. and unequal, and they don't pray it. They don't recognize it. Liberal Jews don't pray many of the prayers anyway. But the point is, Paul's saying, no. In Jesus, there's neither male nor female. There's neither bond nor slave, bond nor free, excuse me. There's neither Jew nor Gentile. But what does Paul actually mean when he says that? Let's go over to Romans, the 10th chapter. And I want to look at some key verses there. Romans chapter 10. Brothers and sisters, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them, for Israel, is for their salvation, for the Jewish people. For I testify about them that they have zeal for God, but not based on knowledge. For being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit themselves to the righteousness of God. For Messiah, Christ, is the goal of the Torah as a means to righteousness for everyone who keeps trusting. All right, so Paul's saying that Jewish people, zealous for the Torah, they're trying to establish a righteousness of obedience, and that righteousness will always fall short. We only become righteous through faith in Jesus, the Messiah. So the most religious Jew, the most devout Jew, is still falling short because of lack of receiving righteousness through the Messiah. Now, he continues, but I just want to skip down a little bit. He says in verse 9, for if you confess with your mouth that Jesus, Yeshua, is Lord, and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart it is believed for righteousness, and with the mouth it is confessed for salvation. For the scripture says, whoever trusts in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, richly generous to all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of Adonai, the name of the Lord, shall be saved. Look at this again, verse 12. There is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, richly generous to all who call on him. So when it comes to salvation, when it comes to being accepted by God, when it comes to how we get right with God, when it comes to what it means to be born again, there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. We're all saved the same ultimate way. It's the same blood. It's the same cross. It's the same Savior. It's the same Redeemer. It's the same redemption. It's by faith in what he has done for us, which is a life-transforming, repentance-granting faith that changes us from the inside out. And it is our works that now demonstrate the reality of our faith, but our works do not procure our salvation. That is another gospel that Paul repudiates and anathematizes, curses those who preach another gospel, saying that salvation is not exclusively through what Jesus did. Rather, you must somehow earn it by adding your own good works towards it or your own Torah obedience towards it. Paul says absolutely not. Now, when he says there's neither Jew nor Gentile, when he says there's neither slave nor free, he says there's neither male nor female. Again, when he says there's neither male nor female, does that mean that I'm not a man and my wife is not a woman? Does that mean that say, if I was 30, I could, as a male, then have a baby? Or if you're a woman and you're 30, you could impregnate a man? No, obviously not. When he's saying there's neither male nor female, he doesn't mean that males and females no longer exist. And throughout his letters, he teaches husbands a certain thing. Husbands do this, wives do this, men do this, women do this. He makes distinctions, right? There are differences in authority and function, etc. Right? So he doesn't say there's no more male or female existing, but he's saying in him, in Jesus, there's no distinction. Well, the men are at a higher level. No. Well, the women are at a higher level. No. Well, only the men get to really obey God. No. Well, only women are really spiritual. No. In him, one. In him, equal. In him, no caste system. No class system. No higher, lower. There's people, there's God, and there's one mediator, the man, Messiah Jesus. You don't have, well, I'm the man, so I'm the mediator between my wife and God. No. God forbid. We each have equal access to God. We are equally priests to God. We are equally members of his body. We are equally sons and daughters of God, children of God. We are equally branches of the vine, living stones in the temple. Equally, no distinction between male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, free. But are there still men? Are there still women? Yes. Yes, of course. And does Paul write certain things to men and certain things to women? Yes. That's called being distinct. That's called being unique. That's called each one being special and each one having unique strengths and weaknesses. What about there's no slave nor free? You be a slave and you read that and you tell your master, hey, I just read what Paul said, so I'm out of here because there's no slave nor free. And you got no business telling me what to do anymore. Well, no, actually, Paul tells a slave, if you can get your freedom, do it. But otherwise, he teaches slaves certain things and masters certain things. Why? If there's no masters and there's no slaves, there's no slave, there's no free, then why is he teaching, okay, slaves, I'm telling you this. Masters, I'm telling you this. Slaves, even though you're slaves, you're free in Jesus. Masters, even though you're masters, you're slaves of Jesus, right? Why is he writing that? So are there still males and females in Jesus? Yes, but there's no distinction between the two. We are one in him. Equals. There's no slave nor free in Jesus. But are there still people who are slaves and still people who are free in different parts of the world? Yes. And has it been true in history? Yes, that there have been Christians who have been slaves and profess and Christians at times, yes, and spiritual darkness, whatever, but that were masters, okay? That didn't have the full revelation that they shouldn't be in that system. But bottom line is they existed. All right, but in Jesus, exact equal. So think of it. You could be a slave of a master, but an elder in your church, and the master has to submit to your spiritual authority. That's one thing that leads to freedom of slaves. It's the same with Jew and Gentile. Yes, I'm a Jew, just like I'm a male, and I'm free, and a follower of Jesus, but I'm no better than a Gentile follower of Jesus. I'm no higher. I'm no lower. We're brothers. We're sisters. We're equals. But I'm still a Jew. No, I don't practice Judaism, but I'm still a Jew. Jew is not just practicing Judaism. Jew is being part of the people of Israel ethnically. And by calling, I'm following the Messiah of Israel. By calling, I'm being a faithful and loyal Jew by following the Jewish Messiah. No. You've now converted to Christianity. That is an unbiblical way of thinking. Yeah, I'm a Christian, if you understand what that means, as a born-again follower of Jesus. Yes, I'm a Christian with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength. And I'm a Jewish Christian. I'm a male Christian. I'm an American Christian. I am a free Christian. And someone else is a Gentile Christian, a Chinese Christian. Someone else is into slavery. They're a Christian. And here's a female Christian. Yeah, but we are one in Jesus. So unless you're going to tell me that there's no more male or female that exists within the church, all right, then you can't tell me there's no more Jew or Gentile that exists within the church. That's why Paul addresses the different groups and has words of counsel and wisdom for each. I'm just being true to the scriptures, but it's all about Jesus. Give us strength
to always do what's right. It's the Line of Fire with your host, Dr. Michael Brown, your voice of moral, cultural, and spiritual revolution. Here again is Dr. Michael Brown.
Thanks, friends, for joining us on this special teaching broadcast today on the Line of Fire. Michael Brown, blessed to have this time with you, but not taking calls, as we're just digging deep into the Word together, some simple concepts, making sure we rightly understand them. So I want to take a look with you in Galatians 6, and I want to start reading in verse 1. Now, remember why Paul wrote the letter to the Galatians. It's the only one of his letters where he doesn't start out with some praise, some commendation, some good word. Instead, it's negative, rebuke. I'm astonished that you've fallen away and followed another gospel. What happened was there were certain teachers. They were legalists. They've been called Judaizers. They came into Galatia and they told these Gentile Christians, unless you're circumcised and obey the law of Moses, you can't be saved. And they had begun to follow this. And Paul said, well, you're falling from grace if you do this. You're denying the fundamentals of the gospel. And he strongly corrects them and rebukes and shows them that the law of Moses does not save, shows them that the gospel of circumcision does not save. And that's why he won't allow Titus to be circumcised. He had Timothy circumcised in Acts 16 because Timothy's mother was Jewish. There was debate in the ancient world, as there is today, if your mother's Jewish, does that make you Jewish? He didn't want there to be reproach with it. If Timothy, in fact, is Jewish because his mother is, he had him circumcised. But Titus was a Gentile. Not going to be circumcised. Not circumcised. All right, so let's look in Galatians chapter 6 as he begins to deal with his closing words. And Galatians chapter 6, starting verse 1. Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught doing something wrong, you who are directed by the Ruach, the Spirit, restore such a person in the spirit of gentleness. looking closely at yourself so you're not tempted also. Bear one of those burdens, and in this way you fulfill the Torah, Messiah, the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he's something when he's nothing, he's fooling himself. Rather, let each one examine his own work, then he'll have pride in himself alone and not in comparison to anyone else. For each one will carry his own load. Verse 6. Now, let the one who's taught the word, share all good things with his teacher. This is a principle of supporting those who preach and teach and bring you the gospel. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he shall also reap. For the one who sows in the flesh will reap corruption from the flesh, but the one who sows in the Ruach and the Spirit will reap from the Ruach eternal life. So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we'll reap if we don't give up. Therefore, whatever we have, whenever we have an opportunity, let us do good toward all, especially those who belong to the household of faith. Verse 11, notice the large letters I'm writing to with my own hand. Normally, he would dictate and have a scribe write. So he's saying, I'm writing this with my own hand, either the whole letter or just this part. Those wanting to look good outwardly are trying to force you to be circumcised, only so they will not be persecuted for the cross of Messiah. So his point is, if they say, look, we follow Jesus, but yeah, you need to be circumcised in order to be saved, that they're now, it's going to look good to other Jews and they won't be rejected and they won't be persecuted for preaching the cross. Let me shout this from the rooftops. I preach the cross. I preach salvation through the cross. I preach salvation through the blood of Jesus. I preach the blood and the cross as the only means on the planet through which we can get right with God. No, I don't preach a crucifix and wear a crucifix of Jesus hanging on a cross and wear that around your neck. That saves nobody. I preach the empty cross and the risen Christ, the risen Messiah, as the only means to salvation. Let me shout that from the rooftops and let me be rejected and hated and reviled for it. So be it. That's a privilege. That's an honor. Okay, back to Galatians 6. So Paul continues and says this, for not even the circumcised keep Torah themselves, yet they want to have you circumcised so that they may boast about your flesh. So these other groups, these Judaizers, if you want to call it these legalists, they don't even keep the law themselves. But may I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Yeshua the Messiah. Through him the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. For neither circumcision or uncircumcision means anything, but only a new creation. Let me stop there. When it comes to salvation, when it comes to being in right relationship with God, when it comes to the condition of your inner being, circumcision, uncircumcision, it does not matter. It has no effect. It has no impact. You can be 100% saved, uncircumcised, and 100% lost, circumcised. You can be circumcised and obey the law of Moses to your best ability, and you are lost because you reject the cross. And you can receive Jesus as your Savior and not even know who Moses is, and yet be born again and seek to follow the Lord. And that's Paul's point there, that when it comes to salvation, it is utterly meaningless. Elsewhere in Romans, he explains, yes, circumcision is of value for this reason, for that, but not for salvation. And he makes that same point in 1 Corinthians 7, not for salvation, not to come into right relationship with God. Absolutely. All right, now, here, Galatians 6:16. This is where he goes. Now, as many as live by this rule, shalom, peace and mercy on them and on the Israel of God. From now on, let no one make trouble for me, for I bear on my body the scars of Yeshua. The grace of our Lord Yeshua, the Messiah, be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. Reading from the Tree of Life version. Okay. By the way, someone wrote the other day and said, why do you say Yeshua? I know you say Jesus, but why do you say Yeshua? We have the Greek New Testament. His name is Jesus. Well, his name in the Hebrew Bible is Yeshua. That's the same name in the Hebrew Bible. And why don't we say Jesus then? Because we're speaking English. Ah, so Jesus in English, Jesus in Greek, Yeshua in Hebrew and Aramaic. So to remind my Jewish friends and Christian friends that Jesus is a glorified Jew, that Jesus, the Son of God, God incarnate, came in the form of a Jew, and he'll return as the Lion of the tribe of Judah and the root and offspring of Jesse. Yeah, so he'll be a male Jew, but glorified, Son of God, Eternal One, when he returns. Well, just being accurate, that's all. So Galatians 6:16 is sometimes quoted a couple weeks ago, a caller quoted it to say that Paul calls the church the Israel of God. It's really a misnomer. And I'm going to look at a bunch of translations here for Galatians 6:16, but let me explain something to you. Many commentators have pointed out that Paul has spent this whole letter telling these Galatians, you do not need to obey the law of Moses to be saved. You do not need to be circumcised to be saved. You can be Gentiles, you can be in Jesus, and it's perfectly fine. It would be utterly confusing at the end of this to now call them the Israel of God. It's like, oh, so we are Israel? I thought you said there's neither Jew nor Gentile. Now you're telling us we are Israel? And it'd be even odder that Paul, writing to the Gentile believers in Rome, in Romans 11, says, now I'm writing to Gentiles, inasmuch as I'm the apostle to the Gentile. Why did he still call them Gentiles? Why didn't he call them Jews or Israel? Because now he says, and I'm writing to Gentiles because I want you to provoke Israel to jealousy. Interesting. So there are still Gentiles and still Jews, but in Jesus we're one, we're equal. No caste system, no class system, as I've said repeatedly and said in the last segment as clearly as I know how to say. So it'd be exceedingly odd that he ends his letter and says, oh, by the way, you're the Israel of God. It's like, we are Israel. Should we be circumcised? Shouldn't we keep the law? No, the last thing he's saying. However, he has been so hard against the Judaizers. He has been so hard against the hypocrites. He has been so hard against this idea that you have to keep the law of Moses to be saved, that you might think, well, are you saying that as Jews, it's wrong for us to follow the biblical calendar? As Jewish followers of Jesus, we should abandon the Sabbath? Is that what you're saying, Paul? Or no, so he's saying, no. If you rightly understand, if you're a Jew who rightly understands what it means to be in Jesus, that's great. And that's how many commentators understand this, right? So I'm going to read a bunch of translations, and I want you to notice carefully the end of the verse. So I'll start in the King James, then I'm just going to read the end of the verse and others. And as many as walk according to this rule, peace be upon them and mercy, comma, and upon the Israel of God. So there's them, all of you, Gentile Christians in Galatia, and the Israel of God. Who's that? Saved Jews, like Paul, like Peter, like me, like Jay Sekulow, like many others. Saved Jews. Those of us who are Jews in Messiah, just like others are Gentiles in Messiah, just like I'm a male in Messiah, others are females in Messiah. That's what he's talking about. The remnant that believes. New King James, the same. Peace and mercy be upon them, comma, and upon the Israel of God. And then the CSB, may peace come to all those who follow the standard, and mercy to the Israel of God. ESV, and as for all who walk by this rule, peace and mercy be upon them and upon the Israel of God. Now the NIV has it differently. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule to the Israel of God. So NIV is saying that whoever follows this rule, you're the Israel of God. All right, most have it differently. NET, peace and mercy be upon them and on the Israel of God. NLT, misleading. Grace and may God's peace and mercy be upon all who live by this principle. They are the new people of God. The Greek word chi, and, most only means chi. It could mean even, but you have to have compelling reasons for it. That's why it's only a minority of translations who read it like that. All the others rightly understand what's being said, which is that the Israel of God is separate. So peace to all those in Galatia, Gentile Christians who follow this rule and understand that neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, only being in Christ, in Jesus, that's what matters. And also the Jewish believers who understand this too, the Israel of God, peace and mercy upon them. So no, the church as a whole is not the Israel of God, nor is the church the spiritual Jacob, right? Jacob, but Paul refers to Israel in the New Testament as Jacob, and Jacob's going to turn and believe. So friends, our identity, what matters? What ultimately matters is not being male, female, Jew, Gentile, slave, free, but being in Jesus. Let that be what we major on while recognizing Jews who believe, Gentiles who believe, men who believe, and women who believe. It's that simple. We're one in Him. I'm out of here.